Daily Drive is brought to you by Reynolds & Reynolds. Want to know how dealerships like yours saw increased profit performance dealership-wide? Visit reyrey.com/KPI to read the Impact on Profitability study. That's reyrey.com/KPI.
I'm Jason Stein, publisher of Automotive News, and this is Daily Drive. It's Tuesday, September 29th. Connecting with dealers and marketing in this environment has created all kinds of interesting opportunities for executives today. In some cases, the tried and true formula has gone out the window, or new opportunities have been created. Take Nissan, for example. With limits on how marketing could be done and is being done, the brand got more creative with its spend. The big decision came when football returned to the field, and Nissan upped its game with college football and the National Football League. Its popular Heisman House college campaign also had to get creative when it came to shooting commercials for the current season. As Allison Witherspoon tells us, it's been an important time for the brand to connect with its dealers, reassuring them that Nissan will be front and center in their situation. Allison is Vice President, Marketing Communications and Media. She was appointed to the position in April of 2019. In this role, she's also responsible for model line product marketing with a focus on revenue growth and profit generation for the Nissan brand and its dealer network. We've reached Allison in Nashville, Tennessee. Allison Witherspoon, it's good to talk to you.
Hi, Jason. How are you?
Doing well. We're into the midst of the end of the year already, but I know you've probably learned more than you ever thought you could possibly learn through the first part of the year, or the first three quarters of the year. Yeah, give us a recap of life in your world right now.
Yeah, it seems so strange, I think, because March seems so long ago. I don't think anyone anticipated, you know, almost 7 months ago that we would still be in this situation. But I think looking back on March, we are at the very beginning of launching our all-new 2020 Sentra. And then around the 13th of March, all of the lockdowns started to take place, the shelter-in-place orders around the country. And overall, as we all know, the automotive industry really declined fast overnight. And what we saw, dealerships were not able to be open because they weren't considered essential service. You still had some cases and in some states where there was where service bays were open. But for the most part, it really impacted the automotive industry. And I think one of the big things was that with people sheltering in place, they weren't able to go look for cars. The need for mobility very much changed in that time frame. And I think through that process, I think we learned a lot. One, you know, really, how can we pivot very quickly and able to change all of our marketing efforts to be able to address what was happening in the moment? And I remember on the 13th, I was actually on the phone with my dealers, with the our dealer marketing subcommittee, and we were talking about how to approach this. Again, we were in the middle of launching this great car. We had NCAA was one of our key pillars of that, and all of that changed in the matter of hours. And so I think we immediately shifted into how can we support consumers? How can we support people who are needing service during this time and frontline workers? How can we support our dealers? And so I think that quickly changed overnight. What we also saw from the consumer behavior was just the acceleration of online retailing. As dealerships were closed, they were able to work with local, you know, governments on whether they could do online retailing. And naturally, that started to really accelerate efforts in that area around e-commerce in the automotive space, which hasn't been as prevalent as some of the other industries. So those have been some really interesting things. I think also just consumer media consumption, what we saw was so much consumption was happening digitally, and it was really shifting into social media, all this online video, and obviously streaming, and those channels just rose exponentially during the first few months, and we've been tracking it since then, and they have continued at that pace as well. So those are kind of some of the key ones. And then I would just say from a leadership standpoint, you know, we really have to focus on how to communicate internally and getting our teams motivated, understanding what the direction is, working with our dealers and also explaining, you know, what we're seeing because that's what they're interested in hearing, as well as how we're going to, you know, what our plans are going to be against that. So it's a lot of assessing the data, listening to what's happening internally from our consumers, from our dealers, And then being able to respond to that very quickly.
So when we look at marketing now, as we're late September, early October, how has your marketing effort changed? Where are you putting more emphasis, knowing what you know now about those consumer choices?
Yeah, definitely. So I think we came back, we were really watching the data, and we were looking at specifically mobility data and search data. So how were consumers, you know, how were they being transported around? Basically, where are they starting to travel? So once we saw that, we started to look at search data and how they were looking for cars and what are the different segments. And once we started to see that at a sustained level over time, that's when we knew we could come back into market with our 2020 all-new Sentra campaign. So that was there. But that plan needed to be very different. And what we were launching in March, a lot of those properties, as an example, in NCAA Final Four, that wasn't going to be there anymore. So we completely shifted what that plan was to actually launch that vehicle. And looking at where consumers were, and again, it was around social media, online video, and streaming, really optimized the media plan that supported the launch to be able to meet consumers where they were going to be searching for brands and where they were going to be searching in that segment.
So we know that the coronavirus upended so many brand marketing calendars. One in particular for you, for Nissan, was around college football and the NFL. Can you talk about the decisions that you made to not only continue putting money into some of those brands, but also just changing the way that you approached it?
Sure. We've had a long relationship with college sports, and particularly with college football. And we've had over 15-year relationship with the Heisman Trust. And we've been doing a Nissan Heisman House for the last 10 years. And we've added NCAA, March Madness, and Final Four into the mix. So this is a huge part of Nissan's marketing plan. At the very, you know, in the springtime, we looked at, okay, what, knowing Final Four was canceled, what does the college season look like? And we started to look at planning for different scenarios. And scenario planning became really where our focus was and was a big shift in how we operate as a team. So as we started to look at, you know, the summer, we had plans based on if the season was going to continue as is, which seemed very unlikely. If the season was going to continue as, you know, if the season would continue but at a shortened, you know, a shortened schedule and fans in the stands or not in the stands, and then what that looked like if there was going to be no football season at all. What ended up happening, obviously, was that the football season, it went forward, but it was going to be a shortened schedule and fewer conferences. And as we were looking at how can we, you know, how can we maximize our reach? How can we make sure that we're going to hit the audiences that we're looking for? That's how we started looking at other properties to help supplement what we were going to be missing from that shortened college football schedule. And that's how we landed on NFL. We were lucky in that, and we shot our Heisman creative both ways. We shot it if the season continued and if it didn't. A lot of production logistics to do that, but we were able to pull it off. But what we found is that a lot of the talent that we had in the creative, they're current NFL players. And so it was a natural extension of what we were doing with college football, was to extend that into NFL as well. So that worked really well. And what we've seen from sports, and I think everyone is feeling that right now, people are really, really desiring sports. And I think people will take whatever form that they can get because it's a passion point, you know, first and foremost. But right now in this moment, in the middle of COVID-19, it's a source of distraction and a very much a needed distraction for everyone having to deal with all the extra pressures.
Yeah,
and so we know that we wanted to continue in whatever form that was going to take.
An escape from indeed the normal that everybody is living now. The challenge with the NFL, yeah, as we wrote, was trying to find areas where you weren't competing against other automotive brands, because let's face it, that's always been a popular property for other automakers. But you were successful in doing that, correct?
Yeah, we were. And so in NFL, and a lot of times when you get these sports properties, they can be, you know, a little bit noisy sometimes. So you have to be strategic in how you go in. So we were looking at, you know, specific, basically specific pods or Monday Night Football where things were going to be a little bit less noisy in automotive, where our Nissan messaging can stand out a little bit more. So we worked very closely on the buying side and with the NFL, with the media team, to make sure that we could stand out in that space.
And you're one of the few brands, as you alluded to just a moment ago, one of the few brands out there shooting new material. You shot your ads for the Rogue, the Sentra, the Titan, and the Kicks in Austin, Texas in July, but with all kinds of precautions. I got to imagine that the logistics around that were fairly crazy.
Definitely. And that was actually, that specific shoot in Texas was, and Austin was, for the Heisman campaign. So we did have all of those cars there. We've done a separate shoot for the all new 2020 run Rogue separately. But what we shot in Austin was all of those cars, as well as all the Heismans, and a ton of learnings with that. We had a much smaller crew, all of the athletes and all of the crew, you know, more than 6 feet away. Everyone had PPE on. Everyone was that we were operating in pods as we were shooting things. Whenever we had two athletes, there's a really good scene in a spot that's going to be coming up soon with Tim Tebow and Kyler Murray, where they're in the all new 2021 Rogue. But they're not really in the Rogue together. They're actually acting against the tennis ball. And then, you know, through the magic of movie making, we're able to superimpose them together. So, you know, we had to learn a lot of tricks for that. And we then translated that into what we were shooting for the all new 2021 Rogue, which we shot a few weeks ago out on the West Coast.
Let's talk about your retail network. You mentioned them kind of off the top. How has your approach with that group changed during all of this? What do they need? How are you supporting them?
I mean, my approach with our dealers, and, you know, I love having the marketing subcommittee. So I have a group of dealers all across the country, different sizes, you know, different sizes of dealerships and dealer groups. And we work in a very collaborative and open relationship with them, and really work as a team about pressure testing what some of the marketing plans are. And they're my sounding board and an incredibly useful resource for me. Going into COVID, I would say that we actually started to meet even more frequently because they were looking for information on what we were seeing in the data that we're able to pull at a national level. And we're obviously looking for insights from them on what they're seeing on the ground. So we started to meet a lot more frequently. We also started to implement some more test pilots around online retailing and e-commerce. And one of the big ones was actually through Facebook Live. And what we were seeing, and we got some inspiration from some of the other industries, is that Facebook Live offered an interesting opportunity for dealers to talk one-on-one with consumers where they may not be able to because of COVID-19 restrictions, and really open up that dialogue and talk about what they're able to offer, whether it's from a service standpoint, you know, drop-off and delivery service, if they're virtual test drive, what they're doing from a health and safety standpoint, is to open up that dialogue with consumers in a one-to-one or one-to-many way. And so we started some pilots with some of the marketing subcommittee dealers. And what we saw is that, you know, these guys have shot over 100 different Facebook Lives. They have over 100,000 people that have watched. And I think what's interesting about that is, if you think about it, that's 100,000 people that are coming into their showrooms virtually. And that is very rare to get that. It's impossible to have that all at once. But this is what, you know, platforms like Facebook Live are actually able to deliver on. And so I think it's working through different programs and different examples of that. So I would say overall we've had much more communication, but also we've been really working on how do we tackle some of this changing consumer behavior and tackling that together.
When you think about it now, how will COVID change the way that you approach marketing long term? What's the most significant change that you can pinpoint of maybe how you'll work in the future versus how you used to work?
I would say the biggest thing from how you work is we have to be much, much more reactionary. I think gone are the days on the marketing side where you have, you know, 6 to 12 months to plan something and think that that's going to be completely fixed and cemented. We now need to be able to change very rapidly based on, you know, environmental changes, consumer, you know, media changes. We need to be able to react much quicker to that. And so I think that will be a fundamental change. I think in the automotive space, you know, online retailing and what shopping looks like online is it was already there, and it has now really been accelerated. And I think we will continue to see that trend. And now it's a matter of, you know, us on the OEM side to be able to build those foundations and to be able to deliver against different consumer needs based on how they're comfortable in shopping. And I think that's where we'll start to see that shift overall in the industry.
And given your access to the data that's out there and what you're seeing from a retail sales pace, how does the fourth quarter look like to you?
I think fourth quarter, things are starting to pick up. We're definitely starting to see some increase in demand. And we're seeing that in the search data. We're able to see that a little bit in the TIV. So demand is coming back. We're also seeing, you know, higher consideration across first-time car buyers. And I think the role of automotive is changing from where it was a couple of years ago, where you started to see this big trend in car sharing and less personal car ownership. I think that's starting to shift a little bit more, too. And I think that it's putting the automotive industry in a good position to solidify us for the future instead of, you know, I think we all were kind of questioning where things were going a few years ago.
Fair enough. Well, we'll be watching to see where things go from here on out, but really appreciate you being with us, Allison, on Daily Drive. And thanks for all of your support.
Thank you. Great to talk with you today.
We've reached Allison Witherspoon in Nashville, Tennessee. And that's Daily Drive for Tuesday, September 29th. For breaking news, go to autonews.com. And for a library of more than 135 stories, go to autonews.com/dailydrive. We'll be back Wednesday. Now, a word from our sponsor.
In today's automotive market, maximizing existing profit centers and creating new ones is more than a savvy move. It's the biggest factor in getting the most out of every customer opportunity. What would it mean to improve your profit performance in every area of your dealership? More customer pay ROs. More finance gross from new and used vehicles. Fewer write-offs in service. Reduced time required to complete a deal. The key to all of that, and more, is giving your employees the freedom to drive revenue. Time they spend focused on manual processes is time that can, and should, be used in more profitable ways. When this happens, processes are redefined, employees are empowered, and attention can be turned back to the customer. It all adds up to your dealership becoming the best version of itself. The big question is, how much more do you stand to make? How would a 44.3% increase in service department gross affect you? What about a 25.7% increase in combined gross per new vehicle sold? Those aren't theoretical figures. They are real key performance indicators from a 3-year study of dealerships who gave their employees that freedom to do more with their time. With the right tools behind your revenue drivers, you'll see improved profit performance too. To see more key performance indicators from real dealerships like yours, visit reyrey.com/KPI and read the full Impact on Profitability report. That's reyrey.com/KPI.